thank you very much. I think we should continue.
I think Mrs. Tolle will just take the committee through what's going to be happening there. And in terms of positioning platforms to include women and to focus on rural development or rural issues, I think we just tried to give an overview of what DTT was going to provide or to do. But the platforms will be positioned in such a way that those issues are addressed. With some of the pilots that Ms. Mbele has been running on DTT, I think we have already started to conceptualize something that would be addressing women, and not women because they are rural or urban, but women in terms of our segmentation model, the young women, the older women, women who are the now generation, and women who are rooted. So I just want to confirm that that is what is happening, but if more information is required in terms of how that positioning will be done, it can be provided. Thank you.
Just to add again on there was a question around platform distribution, as well as how it relates to rural audiences. You recall that on the screen when we showed the images on the top left, there is a young lady in a rural setting. It was just to say that we also recognize where all these citizens are, and that we have programs. Or we'll continue to also develop programs that will speak to people in rural areas. But also, we didn't stop there, because we also realized that there is about 3 million people in South Africa that don't even receive TV coverage at this point in time. So through the contribution from revenues collected on TV licenses, we have been investing in the rollout of low transmitter networks to make sure that in those areas that people will be able to receive SABC signals. Even in this year under review, or the current financial year ending 2010, we are planning to roll out about a further 100 low-power transmitters. Those are directly funded by the SABC from our own TV license revenue, so that we begin to speak to those audiences as well. And also, it is part of our 2010 strategy that says every South African must have access to radio, a radio set by 2010. And it does not necessarily speak to a physical radio set, but it just says you must have a signal. You must be able to receive a radio station, at least where you're supposed to receive that radio station. So we're talking to that. And as Charlotte said, that we, in terms of our multi-channel environment and our new audience segments, we have defined the survivors specifically as those people in the rural areas, who are far in the remote areas, that when we program, we actually end up forgetting about them, that they also have a lifestyle. They've got stories to tell that reflect their life or their aspirations in a village setting. So we talk to that as well. The chairperson also spoke about, asked the question around, what specifically have we tried to do to adjust some of our strategies with regard to the current situation? There are four main areas now that we're going to be focusing on when we go into our strategy planning session in the next month. The first one is going to be the issue around the sports channel and the investment in sports rights, especially issue of runs of sports of national interest. We'll also interrogate our strategy around SABC News International, and we'll be focusing again on DTT, the operationalization of our DTT migration plans and the funding thereof and the challenges. And we'll be dealing specifically again around the operating model, which I'll come back to right now. But with regards to how then do we deal with these strategies under the current situation, we have done an extensive exercise as the group executive, spearheaded by myself and the CFO, around areas that we think are going to pose risk to performance. Risk to performance areas that we've identified, and we have done an exercise across the business unit where we have looked at what are those risk areas that are going to pose some challenges in dealing, for instance, with the turnaround plans that we are embarking upon. We have spoken widely about the turnaround plan to address the current situation. There is a detailed separate presentation on just on the turnaround plans that are also we also look at those risks to performance. Regarding the operating model, the operating model is informed by the very same strategy exercise that we had been embarking upon since 2006, as Advocate Dalimpof was saying. Because after we had done this strategy analysis and our strategic ambitions, we began to realize that some of the strategic action plans and our ambitions would not be fulfilled in the current operating model. We need to look at how the totality of the business model of the SABC as it is now, and whether it will take us where we want to go. For instance, we are already beginning to engage on a debate around the viability of a separation between PCS and PBS, which is the public service, public broadcasting service, and the public commercial services. Whether can that model still sustain the SABC because of the converging broadcasting media and landscape, and how would that model be fulfilled in a DTT environment because of the multi-channel environment? Should we start talking about TV and radio as platforms and new media, and what kind of technology, and where is content enterprises going to be located within this operating model? So those are the current debates that we have. We have ideas as to what we think needed to be done, but those are the areas that we are still not engaged with the board since we formulated our opinion around that since last year. And also to look at the efficiencies as well as the structure, the functions across the organization, whether are there duplications within the organization, what do we then need to do to come up with a business, with an operating model that is going to take the strategy forward and actually position us correctly as a relevant broadcaster or public service broadcaster in this commercial environment. We still yet to table those ideas to the board because some of them also deal with people issues. They deal with around the issue of headcount, the issue of duplication, and issues around how we would eventually come up with a model that will service all platforms in a seamless way, taking into account new media, radio and TV in a converged broadcasting landscape. I think that, yes. And then also some of the measures that we have taken, I think Honorable Kian had also asked a question around what were the measures that we had identified to deal with the challenges that we are facing. We also embarked on strategies regarding closing the funding gap. Because remember, we said that we had already seen that there was going to be a funding gap by the year 2014. And we had identified some of the internal efficiencies and internal processes where we thought that we could fund this gap by doing certain things. Like we had a sales convergence model that was going to realize about 120 million rand. Just by implementing the sales convergence model, our strategic sourcing was going to recognize about 250 million TV license funding and so forth. And just through the internal efficiencies, we were able to generate or to close the gap, I think, at about 1.2 billion rand. And then there were other areas that where government would have had to loosen up on some of the, like the change of legislation, the increase in TV license tariffs, the subsidies on low-income groups, to the point where we would then have to go and raise the balance elsewhere in terms of that gap. So we had identified all of those areas. Thank you, Chair.
Right. Have we covered all the steam baking?
Okay.
Chair, I think in case we proceed to to the financial part, assuming that we've covered these other aspects, I just want to make a reference to some few points. I just want to cover some few points which are linked to strategy, even though they have financial implications. The first one, SABC is taking out of its coffers and playing in the space of low power transmitters. And that is something that I would like this House to note, to say that that has been eroding our financial base, because transmission is not our competency. It is a competency of one of the state organs. But because we are competing in a space where it's been very difficult to reach out, and we've been saying that we cannot continue to have a situation where there's about 13 million South Africans who never had access to radio and TV. We have in our endeavors to make sure that we don't deny those South Africans their right to have access to radio played in this space. But I want it to be noted to say that it has eaten and has contributed a lot in terms of erosion of our financial base. And going forward, it's something that really has to be dealt with the relevant organ of the state. Two, even though the submission DOC made reference to the issues of why funds have not been channeled to SABC when it comes to the DTT rollout, but any piece of legislation that gets passed by this House has sometimes financial implications in its implementation. And I want to make it at this point to say that in doing so, there must be some attempt to try and quantify the financial implications of the piece of legislation and who has to foot the bill in terms of the state organs when it comes to this. The entire rollout of DTT ideally should not be coming from the revenues of SABC, which we derive mainly from advertisers. There's supposed to be a provision from the state to do that. Three is that the whole notion of mandate obligation, we've raised it several times to say some of the ICASA obligations when it comes to mandate, they have unintended consequences when it comes to their execution, which we are required to execute from SABC point. And from time to time, they are eating up immensely in terms of our mandate base. I need you to make these three major submissions, Jefferson, but the most overarching one. You may call me Mr. Plea, but this is an important one. I want to make a plea to this House. You cannot have a situation whereby a public broadcaster will be made to compete for sports rights of national importance with anyone in this country when it comes to the broadcasting space. The basis of that from the beginning is wrong. I think there must be an attempt by the House to try and look at how best the issues pertaining to sports of national importance could somehow be packaged in such a manner that those who are rights holders should conform to some form of agreement which this House is actually going to consider. And if we are required as SABC and South African responsible citizens who understand the broadcasting and media space to make inputs in as far as how best that could be done, I am making this public declaration to say that I'll be available to assist. It is unfair for the SABC to complete for the sport of national importance, because what that does is that we get subjected to up the game in terms of making huge financial commitments, and we get to a point where when we're becoming realistic in as far as our revenues are concerned, we cannot up the pitch anymore when we concede to a defeat. But what that does at the end in terms of our finances is a contributory factor to the situation we find ourselves in. This requires a political intervention. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just three quick points before we move to finance. I wanted first to deal with, there's a question that Honorable Delisle asked in the morning, which I'm not sure if we answered directly about public participation and so on. I think it was answered indirectly, but really the answer is that the point at which, unfortunately, these disturbances occurred was just prior to the Public Value Conference. The Public Value Conference was meant to be a major, huge conference. Obviously, the members of this committee would have been invited, all of them, various other stakeholders, to try and take this thing to the public for the first time so that there can be that kind of engagement. And I'm sure that from what people are saying, when that conference finally does happen in the next couple of months, that will then start that engagement. I'm also sure that the reception that the strategy will receive from the public will really be similar to the reception that it has received elsewhere. I can tell you this, that internationally the enthusiasm with which this strategy has been received is, I cannot even describe it. Last year, just a few months before, in January, I was asked to be a keynote speaker at a conference in the Bahamas of the Commonwealth Broadcasters Association. And there was so much excitement about this new concept of citizen centricity. In other words, looking at your audience, not as a consumer, but as a citizen. And people elsewhere are looking into this notion. And therefore, I think that there will be, that obviously there will be input which enriches the strategy. But I think the core of the strategy, which is this citizen centricity, will be well accepted. The last point, Chair, and I wanted to say that we nicknamed this strategy the Green Revolution, which is why you see all this green and Mr. Stoller's green tie. And really that was meant to symbolize the fact that it's a living strategy. You know, if the weather is raining, it must be able to adapt to like the harsh conditions that we find ourselves in now. But the word revolution was also chosen advisedly, that it's an overhaul, it's to change. It's not just to tweak a few pieces here and there. It's to make sure that we change the face of public broadcasting. Finally, Chair, I want to just say that just to respond to Honorable Kulwane, who was talking about the looting issues. My understanding was that the Chair had made quite an elegant ruling and about how those issues should be dealt with. But I need to say this, because even during the break, there's a ridiculous document that has been circulated. So there's all these accusations that are flying around. For example, in this latest document, I'm supposed to own part of Gemini or something like that, which I would be very glad to, if given half a chance. But then there are many false accusations that are made about people. So I think we must stick to what the Chair has said. And I really want to reiterate that how this matter should be dealt with is a combination of what Honorable Delisle and I think Honorable Zondi had said 2 weeks ago. Honorable Delisle had asked for a forensic audit, and Honorable Zondi had asked for a judicial investigation. In my view, a combination of those, a committee chaired probably by a judge who might have a HR understanding or a labor judge, and a forensic or an auditor, and maybe a broadcasting expert, should be put in place to deal with each and every allegation of so-called looting, so-called this, that, and the other, so that people's names, because these documents are now flying around and they are in the public domain, our names will never be cleared until there's a proper process where people are questioned, so that if anybody has transgressed any law, they must be brought to book. But if anybody has been falsely accused, then they must also be cleared. So that's part of the moving on process. Otherwise, you're going to have all these ridiculous documents being printed and generated on a daily basis because of personal vendettas and various other things. So I just wanted to support that call, Chair, to say your ruling that in good time there must be this closure. Part of the closure to this must be to deal with all these allegations and reiterate the call for a judicial stroke forensic investigation, which must be done in good time. Thank you.
Right. Hold on. Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to close the matter also that came out in your request around the documentation, that we will also submit the commissioning procedures, because it is the commissioning procedures of the SABC that govern the acquisition of content. and as distinct from the goods and services procurement. Because if you look at that, then you may actually misread how the programs get on and assume that they go through goods and procurement. So that's the first thing I wanted to do. Second, I think that as you have already correctly looked at my separate, but I think that as a person who possibly leads the unit that is most of the time in the public domain around these accusations, I feel that I should say here that we have got men and women who put our programs on air who are of high integrity. And the accusations that are out there must not be read to mean that we have got in majority people at the SAPs which are corrupt and looters. And I think it's important because their whole morale, when you read the documents, gets drained. And I think that it is unfair on them that this thing keeps coming up. Whilst actually the SAPC has got processes of dealing with the issues. And I think that I hope that as part of that process it can be done speedily. So that, because if you're going to address the integrity of the SAPC, but also most importantly, for people to believe that this country values their work on a public institution, I think we need to restore their own confidence. And I think that it is a critical component of the restoration of that confidence of our own staff that these accusations are dealt with appropriately. And Chair, as part of that process, I hope that we can deal, as we receive the reports, that the reports must not be read to mean everybody had access to those reports. Because there is also that perception that if there have been audit reports of necessity, people have had access to those audit reports, and if then there is non-action, it's because management has been refusing to act. I was not here last week, but I had the liberty of reading what the chair of the board has submitted to Parliament, where it's alleged, if I read the document right, that certain audit reports were given to management and management was refusing to act. And I think that as possibly as an aggrieved party to this matter, I would like at some point when those reports are provided, also be provided whether management was asked to act and whether they were provided and what did management do, such can deal with these issues. Chair, one of the things that is very painful, and I know you don't want to open this matter, but we're dealing with issues that got into the public domain and names of people have been I don't know what's the right English word, but whilst actually brandished as corrupt, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, whilst we went at length as that team of management to actually ask the chairperson of the board to supply us with the audited statements, to supply us with the forensic reports, up till today, as the leader of that unit, I've had to receive those forensic reports. But it is as if in the public domain, these reports have been provided to management, management is refusing to act. So I hope, Chair, that when Parliament receives those reports, an opportunity also gets created to say, when you received these reports as management, why did you refuse to act? Thank you, Chair.
Right. I see two hands up now. All right, Ms. Killian and Mr. Langer.
Second chairperson. Chairperson, I understand the sensitivity of documents that have been tabled. I understand that very clearly. But on the other hand, I trust that the executive management will also understand that we, as a body, as an institution of Parliament, we have a duty to expose everything. And so obviously we need to get to the bottom of all of this. That's the first point. The second point that I just want to make is from certain presentations made, et cetera, I must for one say, I can't speak on behalf of the other colleagues, I have a little bit of a concern with regard to the availability of audit reports, et cetera, and forensic audit reports. Simply because if we look at everything in the PFMA, if we look at the charter, if we look at the Broadcasting Act as such, everything hinges on it's a public entity, it must account in the public eye,
and therefore any irregularity, irrespective of who are the alleged perpetrators, must be exposed, investigated, and ruthless action should be taken. So I do believe that sometimes in the life of any organization, it can happen that events, one overtake the next step, etc., and certain trends develop which are not good for any institution, which is a public entity. So this is a very painful experience. I have to say that anybody whose names are flagged around, etc., it's not comfortable. Unfortunately, it's part of a process that we have a duty to investigate. I just have to make the comment to say we must all understand that it is a very different animal, the SABC. It is not an entirely, it's not a department of state, but it certainly is a public entity. And therefore, anybody who assumes any duty or takes up any position must understand that that individual is up for public scrutiny. So, whereas we hear what is being said, we must just understand that there are two or maybe three different levels of irregular financial management. The one is simply ignoring good financial practice, audits, risk management, all of that. And that is maybe, can I say, a disregard or what is the word that I'm looking for? It is failure to comply to regulatory provisions of acts, etc. The second one is, unfortunately, and what I'm saying is, if the one is not stopped, it could open opportunities for the next level, and that is deliberate mismanagement, deliberate cover-ups, deliberate tampering with tenders, allowing people to go into...
Ms. Kizan, sorry. You see, I think what we don't want to do is now go into speculation.
Okay.
Right. Let's say we have agreed that at the end of this meeting we are going to discuss how we will process all these allegations. Some of them are very, very serious. I mean, if my name was attached to any one of them, I would feel very offended.
Yeah.
And I would want my name to be cleared also. Yeah. So let's agree that at the end of the financial presentation, we will, as a committee, decide how to move forward on this particular issue. So I'm going to ask you to reserve your comments on that.
Okay.
Can we allow Mr. Nkizi?
Thanks, Chair. My question was not answered. Maybe if I may assist. Professor, talk about the people implementing or commissioning the project and programs without proper signage of the contract. And she promised or she assured this house that that thing is no longer taking place, it's no longer happening. So I wanted to know since when, because subsequently Mr. Mbeki talk of some backlog. Yes, of a backlog, because we need also to understand the backlog since when and things like that. So that's why I asked that question. Secondly, let me assure Mr. Mbebe that those documents that he's talking about does not come from this portfolio committee. Most of them come from the SABC, whether from the management, whether from the so we'll deal with them because all of them come from the SABC, whether from the staff, from the management, or from the board. And this accusation does not come from this committee. It comes from the SABC.
Thank you for the opportunity to respond to that. I would like to clarify that I thought we were sort of moving on. When I spoke about the various responses of the board to areas where there appears not to be financial control, where there appears to be risk. I spoke about the
systems that have been set up in areas where we found that there were no systems. So the SAP system and the general enterprise system were precisely to try and regularize the contracting and procurement process. The SAP system would ensure that contracts, as they had been in the past, were not paid unless they were signed off, et cetera. So it set up a system of controls that is currently in place. I should point out that the systems that we're referring to actually go back even to the previous board, that the setting up of these systems is quite a long-term process and costly. And I think we felt justified in those costs, which, as you saw, have quite high consultancy costs attached to them. So it's one of the areas of consulting costs. But those processes have been set up over a long period of time. Even the institution of the SAP system, Nicholson can confirm, but I think it's like 18 months or 2 years. So some of the most recent final controls are only just in place, and I think there are still a few areas where there are still controls outstanding, but they are part of an introduction process that will be put in place. My point about these setting up the control systems, the financial controls, the audit systems, and the risk systems, is this was simply to fill gaps that we found, and in fact, indeed, in some areas, policy, where there was not adequate governance and control systems in place. All of that does is regularize the process and reduce the possibility of abuse. If somebody is willfully going to abuse that system, it can obviously still happen. I think the SAP system makes it very difficult now. But people are inventive. I'm not guaranteeing you. Said I'm guaranteeing you that the tendency has stopped. And I'm just saying, no, I can't guarantee that. All I can say is that systems have been put into place that should put some stop to some of the poor practice. Sometimes it wasn't even willful corruption, but just poor practice that was in place. So I just wanted to make that point. I can't tell you. I mean, likewise on the PMFA. And there have been enormous efforts to install the PMFA compliance. Again, as I said, at some cost to, people actually operating efficiently and effectively and quickly, but trying to just get that, right throughout the organization and installation of what the PMFA means and people's responsibilities right through the organization. At board level, I mean, management can account for how that happens, but the company secretary can indicate how we've tried to make more rigorous the PMFA compliance, for example, in terms of the conflict of interest, so that before each board meeting, people actually have to physically sign, not just casually declare, those kinds of things. But if people are willfully withholding information or something, then the system can't deal with that. It can only try and reduce misinformation or the abuse of the system that is going on. So I just wanted to clarify that. It was just I was speaking about the board's response. I'm not really able to give guarantees beyond that.
Right. Can I hand over to Mr. Nicholson? You said you had 110 slides.
Have you not managed to get a little bit better than that?
Thank you very much.
I'm going to get a bit cleaner than that. Before I start, I'd just like to make one comment to Ms. Killian. As long as people stand in the light, they have nothing to fear. Many of these people making these allegations are not standing in the light. We don't know who they are and why they are doing this. So any process that I take forward, so I would hope would treat people with dignity and respect, and at least give people the benefit of the doubt as to some of these allegations. I'm no doubt that there might well be truth in most of them, if not all of them. Okay, I can't say they are complete lies, but I will say, please be sure of this, that you'll get full cooperation from the SABC if that's what's required. I don't think any executive would not want to cooperate with this investigation. But in my own experience, in one particular iteration of an internal audit investigation into myself, some 300 allegations were made. Of those 300 allegations, none proved to be true. So, this is the kind of process that you're opening executives up to. In a very competitive environment, and not too many people will go through it and stay at the SABC. So, please, just also bear that in mind. Chair, what we've done is we've completed the performance overview. These numbers are unaudited, and consequently, there are still some small minor points. If people want to go and dig through them, they'll see that some of the comparatives don't necessarily tie back to previous financial statements. Those processes we're busy sorting out now, but they relate to the precept take on. So let's just start with a brief overview. We know that revenue came in 674 million rand.
Can I just hear, do we have any of the documents?
Sure, we can make them available. We have made them available to Parliament. They've just taken a copy of them. So we will make them available. Our operating expenses, excluding depreciation, are 545 million, worse than budget. And our total operating loss, therefore, is 839 million for the year, 1048 worse than budget. And those are the numbers that we took to Parliament through the last time, and then they said to us, please go back and have a look at a couple of specific questions. And I wanted, in the interest of time, I'm going to try and get to this quite quickly. Cash utilized in operations was 692 million, as opposed to cash generation in 2007 of 185 million. So this tendency to consume more cash than you have has been in place for at least 3 years. And we have discussed it here before. Perhaps our biggest cash outflow this year, you can see in 2007, we spent 1.4 billion on the acquisition of content, excluding news, 1.6 in 2008, and 2.059 in this current year. So the vast bulk of the SABC's money is actually spent on what goes on television. On the balance sheet side, I'll get to that in a few moments. There were some questions asked about our balance sheet. Essentially, our non-current fixed assets are 2 billion rand, and that's risen from, in 2005, of 1.1 billion rand to just on 2 billion rand this year as the government grant has come through, and also as the deferred payment for pension fund liabilities has come through at 420 million rand last year and 320 million rand this year. So, and there, we said, once again, is where the core problem lies in our working capital management. You can see our program in film and sports rights have risen from 265 million in 2005 to 1.1 billion rand in 2009. And our trade and other receivables have risen from 592 to 993. I do want to correct one statement that was made here last week, Chair, and that was the state of the SABC's balance sheet. In the 2008 financials, which was March 31st, 2008, the SABC was holding cash of 573 million rand and had secured facilities of another 670 million rand. So the cash available to fund the strategy was 1.3 billion. So when people say there was no funding plan or that the balance sheet was in a bad way, I have my doubts as to the veracity of those statements, but they were made here, so I think it's appropriate for me to respond to them. I could be wrong, but I think if you've got maybe 600 million in cash and 600 million available in borrowings, maybe you do have a funding plan and maybe you don't have a problem with your balance sheet. I think that's still the case at the SABC. You know, if you look at this balance sheet of nearly 4 billion rand in assets, it is still unencumbered. We don't owe anybody except the bank a lot of money. And there's the breakdown of the assets that we were asked for. Land and buildings, 580 million rand. Property, plants, and equipment, all those that broadcast facilities, 1.4 billion. 213 million rand has gone into SAP, TVBMS, and other upgrades to IT operating systems. 320 million rand in our actuarial pension fund, and that's really the big sum of the assets. If we start looking at our liabilities, one of the issues that still weakens the balance sheet going forward is this non-current employee benefits, which is essentially the long-term liability for post-retirement medical aid. We made the decision in 2007 ahead of the pension fund surplus to fully account and bring that onto the balance sheet. I think it's quite important to also note and understand that our pension fund is funded in excess of its liabilities as it's currently funded. So it does have a very large, and that's even after a nearly billion rand revaluation of its assets following the global credit crunch last year. So there's no large unrecorded liability sitting off balance sheet somewhere. Trade and other payables, perhaps this is where difficulties start coming through quite quickly. you can see that we've also increased our creditors from 238 million into 1.2 billion. This is not what we owe everybody in one shot, because as we bring the rights on for the Confederations Cup and other, particularly sports rights, this is what you see going here in other trade and other payables. So we bring the balance, all those rights onto the balance sheet on the 1st of April, and we pay them down in the course of the year. Amounts owed for leave pay provisions and other bits and pieces to staff is 32 million rand. We've recovered the payments in advance to receive a revenue of 93 million rand subsequent to the year end. And then there's our debt, 510 million rand at year end. So, and then we had 30 million rand in other provisions, which means we had just on 3 billion rand worth of liabilities. If we just look at the ratio analysis, because I think this starts showing the picture very quickly. The current ratio, how many rands you have in working capital to pay, how many deep rands you owe. In other words, you'd have 1 rand worth of assets for 1 rand worth of liabilities. You can see that that has fallen from 2 rand 83 to 1 rand 37 and continues to deteriorate. Our quick ratio, which is how much cash they have to pay for liabilities at the year end, was 1.37. So there wasn't an issue then. And subsequently, as we've continued to trade below our expectations, this cash flow issue has come more and more acute in the last 4 or 5 months. And then you can also see part of the problem is day sales outstanding, which is a measure of how quickly your debtors pay you. So you flight an ad, and on average it'll take you 75 days to get the money, and the industry average is in fact 64. So you can see that there have been periods in the past where our DSOs have risen and they have fallen, and we'll talk a little more to that later. If we just break down the revenues, because this is where the difficulty really starts to come through quite sharply. I think it's important to note that in any media business, there's no real incremental operating cost other than the cost of your content. And the cost of your content you need to run your television channel. So if you decide your schedule is going to be 100 million rand, it doesn't matter whether you've got 1 rand worth of revenue or 50 rand worth of revenue, your cost is 100. So consequently, if you don't make sales, that's all bottom line profit. And particularly in television, if you look at the way TV works, for every rand's worth of television sales, we will recover about 98 cents to the bottom line. And in television, in radio, that's about 67 or 68 cents. So even your reps cost of making those sales is relatively small in relation to how quickly you can melt down. So when you come short on television revenue, that hurts the bottom line very, very quickly. And I think we've discussed, and everyone's tired of hearing about global market meltdowns and all the other things, but it is true that there's been an advertising recession for quite some time in this country. So our commercial revenues ended up 745 million rand below budget, and our public income was above budget by 116 million rand, and 77 million rand came from the government grant, and 38 million of that came from TV license revenue. So it's quite clear that despite all that's said about TV licenses, it is true that there's been one increase in 8 years. The unit itself continues to perform ahead of our expectations. However, I must warn that that can't continue, and I'll show you why that's becoming a major risk. And then you've got our trade exchanges, which essentially is a barter deal where we swap airtime for promotional materials. So this is typically where you'd see on a program someone driving around in a sponsored car from a motor manufacturer. So as you can see, that's quite a big source of alternative revenue for us, although we didn't get the kind of trade exchanges this year that we thought we would get. So if we look at our core revenues then, we were 692 million down. But more importantly, some of our new sources of revenue. We spoke with the strategy that it was really critical to start getting revenue diversification. You can see that our entertainment unit that we were hoping to be able to sell as a channel came quite short on its overall target. And we'll go into some of those in some detail. So it wasn't just airtime sales that we had issues with. And yeah, you can see it quite clearly. BCS had a budget of 50 million rand for that channel, and previously done about 17 to 20 million rand a year. and this year only achieved 6. So, and that was with the discontinuation of SABC Africa on DSTV, which we still, despite some protracted negotiations, have not managed to rectify. If we look at our other mobile diversification, you'll start seeing that we did not do particularly well on a mobile and new media spend, and some of our facilities also didn't give us the kind of income that we were anticipating. And then we've given you a breakdown of the channel carriage fees. That's the reason the channel carriage fees are important is that it's a diversification into a multi-platform strategy. So selling channels to other operators, whether they're in South Africa or B-Sky B or wherever, that's a major opportunity for us going forward. Those of you who have DSTV will know that there are 4 BBC channels on our platforms. Many years ago, a young man, he's not so young anymore, joined the SABC and said to me, why do we think BBC is a competitor? And it's very clear, as people fragment into this LSM 7 plus market, there are other competitors out there that we don't always think about. And they take our most valuable commercial audiences. And just to come back to, I think Gav's put this up, year-on-year growth for the past 4 years. You can start seeing some of the problems we have with the growth rates. If we start looking at one of the big issues we've had, and I'm surprised that they haven't, you know, the industry's been very good, they haven't come back and complained to us. We put in a new SAP system last year for debtors. There were 9 implementations of SAP into various parts of the business in a sort of modular, in a modular way. This one we're putting to try and get a comprehensive view of our customer service for, in other words, did we fulfill person placed an order on us? Did we actually advertise it on air? And we've managed to locate this, how much we actually have got sold and then we don't discharge through any number of reasons. And that results in a credit note. And last year, for the first time, we were able to measure that at 146 million rand. So when SIPA talks strategically about the opportunities, we have got performance measures that will tell us very quickly whether we've got world-class customer service for advertising and the like. But I think it's also important to note there that despite what you see in ADEX about the SABC doing 7.8 billion rands worth of sales, in fact, the net sales is 5.5 billion. And that discount rate, if you work it out, you can see the discount rate has been getting higher, contrary to our strategy of trying to reduce it. And that was a direct consequence of the business cycle that changed quite rapidly for us. So we had anticipated taking price and, in fact, ended up having to discount to get cash. If we look at some of the disappointments, I suppose, the one is the sponsorship education line item. We didn't quite get to where we thought we would get. That was partly because of some deferrals of programming, but it also was around sales performance. I thought I'd put something up where we did something right, Mr. Vardy, if you don't mind. So we decided to put at least one green circle where our program sponsorships did quite well for the year in review, coming in 23 million ahead of budget. So, and that talks to how credible your programming is. People do want to be associated with it. And I think it's also quite important that a large part of that came from the government. You know, so there are many departments. Department of Health, I think, sponsors some very good programming on the SABC, and that certainly has been quite supportive of us. And then there's the big one, which is, despite having paid significantly more for rights, the rights revenue market has declined and fallen quite sharply. And so, you know, at the one point in time, you're paying more for rights, and at another point in time, either you're not selling it as well as you should, and I think that's some of the problem, but quite clearly the sports sponsorship market itself is going away. And don't believe me, have a look at what Formula One has done. They've cut the costs of producing Formula One to $41 million per team because they can't afford more than that because their revenue is starting to dry. And I mean, that's a major sport. We've broken it down for platforms because people like to see what's going on PBS and PCS, television and radio. I don't think I'm going to spend much time on that. But we've given it to you there by television, and there you can see the issue. Television was 610 million under its budget, and radio was only 13. So some of the decline moved from television to radio. Even then, radio didn't quite come through. Metro really carried it, but Good Up and 5FM also didn't make their budget. If we look at our ALS stations, you'll see the same continuation across the board, except for some shining examples of a Causey. Despite having got more competition, it still managed to perform. And some of the smaller radio stations, like Ikwezi, are still coming through because of some regional sales initiatives. So there's a lot of work going on out there around PBS radio, and this portfolio continues to grow. You know, I think it must have gone up by 300 million rand in 4 years. So certainly we are finding value in our audiences and converting it. If we look at government grants from government, this is really educational programs coming through at 87.
I just wanted to ask Mr. Nichols whether he has issues with Likwalakwa. Because I see there is no negative there, but it has
Likwalakwa. I will make a note of your favorite radio station for future. I think the Nelson did quite well.
They're from Nelson, no?
I know. Clearly, I didn't know that, otherwise, I would have made an effort.
But the offices in Piet Retief is burned down.
Okay. I'm glad no one noticed that I've still got one of the names of the radio stations wrong. We'll fix that in due course. But this is what we're talking about in terms of government grants, and you can see it's this. We had hoped to get a lot more of educational programming, but that didn't come through. But in other programming, it has. So if we look at those trade exchanges, one of the issues that we've been tracking for a number of years is this gap between what we give away in airtime and what we get in costs. So we've now got a way of measuring that, and the gap is only 3 million rand. We will find out where that gap is this year and close it. This, I think, is quite important, which is a breakdown of license fees. And as you can see, really, the actual license revenues at 252 rand a unit coming 43 million rand ahead of the budget. And the penalties still remain quite a big part of our mix at 93 million rand. That's important because it starts telling us the size of the piracy in the population. So these are all the pirate viewers that are found and caught. And you can see, you know, from the change in legislation in 2004, that's become quite an active source of revenue for the SABC at nearly 100 million rand a year. So that, you know, in trying to find out and track pirate viewers and bring them to book, we are quite aggressive. But if we look below that, you'll see the cost of that strategy. In direct collection costs have also risen quite rapidly. Mostly people employed in TV licenses, that's the biggest cost driver. That goes up at inflation plus one. And your rate doesn't go up at all. So you're in a hiding to nothing in this business. Your price doesn't go up, but your costs do. And your cycle goes against you because you're going to have to use more debt collectors to collect your penalties, and they cost significantly more than straightforward compliance. And then you can see that bottom line collection cost is a percentage of revenue earned 15, 16, 18, 21, 20. That's quite problematic. It used to be about 13%. And there's the other issue we were asked on, direct agency collection costs. You can see that comes in at 97 million rand for the year. Obviously, the penalties plus the ordinary revenue. Paypoint charges about 15 million rand, bulk mail 24 million rand. And that's also an indication of how well we've done over the years. We used to pay the post office 14.7 million rand for bulk mail. That's now 24 million rand for bulk mail. So certainly a lot more people are paying their TV licenses on these measures. And the TV license inspection fee, about 40 million rand, giving us a total cost of collection of 176 million rand for the year. 4 million over budget, but then again, they were 42 million rand over budget in revenue. So net 38 million to the business unit. We were asked a lot about our operating expenses. And here's where you start seeing some of the things that we've tried to fix with SAP. So the comparatives of 05-06 here start becoming a bit difficult because we've started putting in a different way of treating other expenses and amortization of costs. So you'll see that the actual 07-08 is a bit difficult to get the comparative right now. We will get that done by the time we come back with the annual, with the audited financial statements. Amortization of program and film costs about 120 million rand better than budget. Broadcast costs were 113 million rand under budget. Signal distribution and linking costs were up. We'll talk to this in a bit more detail. Employee benefits were below budget. Marketing costs were marginally over. Direct collection costs, I think we've dealt with already. And then the big one, professional consultancy fees, and we'll come back to that in a moment. And then some other gains and losses, which is around foreign exchange and the valuation of rights. Not cash costs, but quite a big number in our mix overall. And then our depreciation at 54 million rand, less than our budget. Amortization of computer software, 24 million rand less than our budget, meaning that our total expenditure was actually marginally under budget. And I'll come back to why people believe that there's something funny going on with our cost management in a moment when we talk about the strategic project that Tibo spoke about earlier. Because what we had done in setting our budget, and perhaps the area where we should be a little bit more conservative going forward, was the benefit realization from these strategic projects. We had identified them, we had started implementing them, we funded them in the budget, so we brought some of that benefit to account, and that didn't come through in the implementation of our projects. And I think one of the big issues for the SABC is the timeliest implementation of projects. Now, we eventually get it done, but was it done on time, within budget, and efficiently? And that's quite a big challenge for our organization. This is a breakdown, and as we said, we'll provide you with it. I think this is what the Honorable Member from Lingala Gwala was asking, to see who is to blame for overspending at the SABC. And there it is, sir. It's all in a great deal of detail. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. There's analysis. No doubt Gabe will take out his whip and beat us all about the head for not spending. But you can see at the bottom, this productivity credit cost of about 650 million rand that we thought would come through was quite a problem for us. And I'll go through that in some detail in a moment. So where did the operating costs go? We've given you a write-up as well, Chair. Just one of the big issues for us, and was quite a big cost driver for us, and quite a big control driver, is the implementation of a project called IPM, Intellectual Property Management. This tries to control the process of planning and selection of content, both domestically and internationally, against the demand schedule. So what do we need? And that's done through a needs analysis. And I'm sure Ibuza can speak to this a lot more eloquently than I can, but I'll give it a go, Ibuza, if you don't mind. When we go into IPM, we have just gone live on the 16th of June and it is working. Track every step in the process of commissioning through even down to the BE credentials of a producer or not, and the like, and put these proper controls in place. So a lot of what has been a problem in the past around the SABC should be addressed by the SAP IPM module over the next, I think it probably takes another 18 months to get it to work well. So a lot of those controls have been closed down. I'm going to say this to everybody here so we can understand that. In 1988, there was a forensic investigation into procurement of content at the SABC. It's an endemic problem in our industry. But what I will warn as well, three people jumped off of the tower block in that investigation. That's what I'm worried about when I see all these forensic investigations come through. They put real pressure on individuals. We have to remember that there are people involved in these processes, and some of these people have been subject to these processes for more than 3 years. This thing is running. It should give us the controls we're looking for around IPM. It is, I think it was 18 months late. And as the executive sponsor, I will take accountability for that. We really did underestimate how complicated this process was. But the system is now completed. The only bits of SAP that are still outstanding are travel management and staff debtors, and they should be resolved this year. Operating costs and marketing overspends, PBS 3, PCS 3, and then there were so many content enterprises. But there were savings in group services and commercial services which offset that. One of the changes we've made, which also accounts for some of the increasing compensation costs, was we brought in freelancers under employee compensation. to try and understand better how much human talent we actually were managing at the SABC. You know, it's quite easy to think it's just your permanent staff. And certainly some of the documents I've seen recently, people are saying, you know, it's permanent staff that must be protected. That's true. But the SABC relies very heavily on its freelancers. And some of our most creative people and some of our hardest working people sit in this group of individuals. And although they choose to be freelancers in most part, you know, as the SABC develops, it can't ignore the development of its freelancer complement. I remember one of the issues that the SABC had was a very simple rule that said you couldn't be a freelancer unless you knew how to use SABC equipment. You had to be certified to use SABC equipment. When you went to the last retrenchment program, a lot of people became freelancers. They were trained on SABC equipment. It held back the transformation of the SABC's workforce for nearly 4 years because it became a lock on who could be a freelancer at the SABC. So the SABC trains about 300 freelancers a year in order to build a skills pool within the SABC. I think that's about right, Mbuzo. Mbuzo, how many freelancers do we train a year? About 300 between yourself and technology.
Yeah.
So, you know, so there's quite a lot of industry development that happens at the SABC as well. You won't have anybody who can run HD OB bands or do an HD broadcast for the World Cup unless we are actually treating freelancers right. So based on that strategic conversation, we said they're part of our talent pool and we included them in our employee costs, even though they don't form part of the employee base in terms of the Labor Relations Act and the like. Okay, we've given you all the breakdown of the overspend, employee compensation, how we manage it. Professional consultancy fees we'll take you through in some more detail. I know there was a lot of questioning around that. And then where our other operating costs are. I think one of the points I just want to note to the Parliament is that we're a broadcasting group. So when you look at our cost setups, you see all of those other lovely line items, broadcast costs, because that's the core of our business. But then you've got this other line, where we bring almost all of our technology costs through in other operating costs. So those other costs are actually the technology creation, the technology enablement of the organization. And that's quite a big bucket of about 350 million of that other cost line item. So this way, when you're looking at that, you're looking at a different part of the SABC, which is the technology part of it. Professional and consultancy fees. We've broken this down into the five major buckets: auditors, remuneration, managerial fees, projects themselves, and what happens in our technology division itself. And there's the 93 million rand you're looking for. 45 million rand of it was in our technical fees, and 52 million rand was in project costs. And auditors' remuneration is 7.8, and I'll deal with those in a moment. There's the breakdown of the audit fee. It went up quite a lot, and this relates to the 2008 budget, the 2008 financial audit. And you'll remember, Chair, there was an audit qualification around stock, and there was a new SAP system that was put in place, and that's what drove that cost over budget. And there's the various parts of it that you can see in its detail as to who overspent what. If you look at our managerial fees, you'll see here that it's all over the place. Generally, these are where the project costs sat, and generally these sort of came in at or near the budget. There were some overspends around myself as we did some projects around remuneration and risk management in terms of what we needed to do around the pension fund surplus. The CEO, I think, Sipo spoken quite eloquently to what we did with both Gemini and around risk management, and the others are relatively small. If we look at the big ones, which is the SAP consultancy, drove 34 million rand of the overspend. I'll speak to that because I'm the executive sponsor of it. We had a delay in the rollout of our SAP core competency center by 4 months because of a project delay, and we had to leave the implementation partners in place, and they were coming in at 21 million rand a month. So there was quite a big cost in the delay of go live on the last modules of SAP. because we had to use higher skilled people to implement than we had to use to maintain. So there's been an outsource of some of those maintenance costs to Accenture that went through a public process, that went through a fairly transparent procurement process. That contract is 2.5 years to run, and that's where this famous the CFO has thousands of consultants running around the SBC comes from. There are actually only 15 of them, but and 10 people that work on RTM. So there you can see that's my friend from the Gola Gola, that's what I should be paying for. However, I will say this. We have created an asset. This wasn't expenditure. This was creating a long-term enduring asset for the SABC. And there was complete visibility. It went to the Executive Steering Committee, and we made conscious choices about how we would handle that. It was also offset by about 15 million rands worth of savings in depreciation. The other one that's quite large is the cost of forensic investigations at the SABC. And you can see that's gone from about 2.5 million rand to 11.3 million rand in the last year. So although there are lots of allegations about the SABC, there's clearly a lot that's been done about it as well. If we look at project and consulting fees in Concept Enterprises, as you can see, they came in under their budget. But I think this is a big part of where business development and industry development happens. So if we didn't spend this kind of money, you wouldn't have a Satengi. It was a help. What was the big conference on content that we had? Input last year, which cost us about 30 million rand. Eh? So you wouldn't have had all the international broadcasters coming here to buy content and produce content for 2010 to market South Africa across the world on public broadcasting services. If we don't do this, who will? You know, there was some criticism recently that we withdrew from the film festival, simply because we cut the budget. So if we keep on cutting these budgets in these areas, you start seeing these industry development initiatives also starting to suffer. Yes, well, that's my point. There's a whole lot of developmental projects that, and that's what goes under so-called professional and consultancy fees. This is not just people doing other people's work, which is the allegation that's often made. And you can see we spent 9.6 million in the DTT as opposed to 4.2 million that we budgeted for it. If we look at technology, this is a Siemens contract that is coming through, and once more a lot is written about Siemens. Designed to build capacity within the organization. And I think we must just also bear in mind that it's fine to talk about a SAP implementation. There are about 4,000 people that work at the SABC, 3,000 of them use SAP. Okay, there were 18,000 training interventions in the course of the four-year implementation on SAP. So we took an organization that was used to using 85 computer systems that were developed in the late 1980s to leading-edge broadcast production and accounting systems that's in the SABC. And then TVBMS, I think it was there about 600 people that use it. And of those 600 people, I think there were nearly 3,500 training events on scheduling within the broadcasting environment done by Cent Media, who run Discovery Channel globally and who are considered some of the world's best broadcasters. Now they run 18 playout centers across the world, produce 54 channels globably. So there has been quite a strong emphasis in all of these projects on skills transfer. Then we come to our legal fees, which also shot up quite sharply in the year. Not because we were suing Dali, but because we've provided some 20 million rand for the PRC liability arising from the BOP integration charges, which have always been disputed by the SABC. So something we don't think we should pay, we have provided 20 million rand for. Clearly, we've had to capacitate our legal department to try and deal with the volumes of contracts that we deal with on a day-to-day basis and deal with a lot of the regulatory issues we face in the award of contracts and the like. But that's really where it came from. So there's another big chunk there. This is an area where the SABC has performed poorly, which is the control of travel and related expenses. And you can see in local travel, 16 million rand over budget, and international travel, 5 million rand over budget. That most of all came from Beijing, because there were some cancellations that were late and there were more people that wanted to go. But the local flights also covered the election at 16 million rand. And you can see the local flights that were 4.5 of that, and then there's car hire at 4.4 million of it. Most of that was news, and news international as well. So if we come to news, because people seem to want to talk about news, news international, the budget is 45 million rand. We revised it to, the actual is 56 million rand, so they overspent 10 million rand just on the production of the news channel. However, in news and current affairs, where news gatherings sit, they were 65 million rand over budget. And just so you understand, this budget is 600 million rand. It has gone up from 315 million rand in 2005 to 594 million rand in 2009's budget, with an actual cost of 673 million rand. So in the space of 3 years, it has doubled. So when we say there are issues as finance, we know that that's not sustainable. And that was a direct consequence of the ICASA mandate changes and the number of news and current affairs slots that went in to the SABC, PBS radio and television. Just so you can understand, a language coverage on television will come at now currently about 38 million rand of language. So there has to be a better operating model for news. Our signal distribution costs, as you can see overall, went up slightly. And by that I mean slightly, we were convinced by Centec that we needed to increase their rate of increase well beyond inflation, because we'd been managing to contain their costs 2% below inflation for 7 years. And there were real service problems at Centec. So we agreed to increase our Centec budget, and they've got 11 million rand more than we budgeted. Another 11.2 million rand was international linking for News International. So there those two numbers are. Sorry, it was long. As I said, Chair, there are still some things we're trying to sort out. PCS and PBS put these things in different cost centers for their budget. They put their budgeting for the linking costs. Linking costs are where you take a signal from one venue to another. So it's not transmission. It's moving content around. And news was 12.6 million rand on the overspend. And then we've given you the detail if you need to break down. Coming to broadcast costs, our budget was 411 and we spent 285 million rand underspent. And here you can see once more these freelance artists coming into play at some 83 million rand below budget. This is the one area where we're still trying to get IPM and SAP to work properly so we can get the capitalization to programs and then the amortization of programs back out. So we do need to restate some of these costs. We've got Henk and his team working on it right now with the broadcasters. Okay, that's just a breakdown of what there is, and you can see that we underspent on our audience research, which has got its long-term implications as well. And if we don't know our audiences, how can we position our platforms against them? And we paid 120 million rand to collection societies. If we look at other expenses, yes, we can start seeing those operational costs coming through. Our personal costs at 162 million. And then before we capitalized, cost 678 million rand. But most of all important here is a 78 million rand trade receivables impairment, which basically means provision for doubtful debts. Okay, so not only do we pass 145 million rand in credit notes, we also think 78 million rand with our debtors won't pay us. So we provided in full against that. And then at year end, because the rand will do what the rand does, it came back against us and we had a lot of foreign exchange contracts against our content, and we had to take a write-off on our revaluation of our exchange gains, and we had a loss for the first time in some years. But that's our average rate is 8.30 for the year, which wasn't bad. But in this particular case, at year-end, we had a revaluation loss of 20. Then one of the other questions we put Parliament has been putting to us for a number of years is, where do we spend our money? SAFA started telling us quite exactly where that's going. So you can see children was 44 million rand, documentaries was 16, drama series was 173, education was 48, sports production cost was 217, sports rights was 181, sports foreign was 154, and then all genres was 758, and that's the number we have to break down. So this is schedule that's still work in progress, Chair, but we did promise that when we put in SAP, we'd be able to read these things better. As the IPM comes through in the coming years, this should start giving Parliament exactly the point that they wanted to know, exactly what has been spent and what element of content. So the system has been built to answer those questions. Employee compensation and benefits. I don't know whether I'll answer it now or later. I think now. I disagree with the chairperson's statement about the approval of employee compensation. In fact, is a board resolution dated October 2007, which fully details exactly what people get and how they get it. Our current, well, I'm not quite sure what the status would be today, but Ms. McConza made that statement in the papers over the weekend. And I want to basically just dispute that publicly so that we can understand that that was done with a board resolution. And we'll deal with incentives in a moment. I'm not going to say a lot to that one, but, you know, it's wrong, it's wrong. He has the breakdown of the allowances, the budget versus the actual, and the variances. And here you can see that independent contractors issue coming through quite strongly. And there's the leave pay and the pension benefits and the post-retirement medical aid. You can see these numbers are quite large. This is the breakdown by division, so you can see where everyone works, which was also asked for. And there's our staff incentives, including the bonuses. All of our staff benefits detailed as well. And then this is the number of heads that we've increased over the past few years. In 2006, it grew by 161, 7288, 8121, and then last year 343. So those are the new number of heads we recruited. Complement to complement. So this is not the number of people that may have been recruited and left in the course of the year. This is, if you measure at the end of March, how many more people you had on at the next March. There's the breakdown that you've also asked for, which is the number of heads, the pay cost, and the average pay per head. Chair, I would ask that we can not circulate this particular slide because this is quite sensitive competitive information as to what we pay by grading which area so people can work out what our average talent is earning. So if you don't mind, this information is available, but we have not included in the circulation pack. This is who gets it: permanent staff, fixed contracts, temporary staff, casuals. Okay. And then just so that people can understand, on average we pay 65 million rand a month to freelancers. And then just because this seems to be everybody's fixation, I think one must understand that the year's performance is paid in the following year. So any bonus I received in December, which was actually 788,000 rand, was paid out for 2008's performance and previous years. So our system banks your, so you don't get everything in your bank. You don't get paid out 100%. It goes into a bank and you pay out 30%. So last year I was paid out 30% of my bank, which was 788. 70% of my performance in that year was banked. So if there's no payout this year, if there's no declaration this year, well, I don't think there'll be bonus for 31st of March 2009, which is why we've got a blank in there right now. So in terms of the total participation, you can see there, the executive directors, which was me, the middle managers got 8.9 million, sales got 443 because they're essentially in the admin section of it. Top management got 2.1 and senior management got 10.5. And that's how much we paid out in bonuses last year, 22.8 million rand. I don't know where other numbers come from, but that's what we paid out and which the auditors agreed to. Then our director's fees, essentially 3.6 million. So that's also available in this pack. And then the staff allowances, you have the famous, we paid 18 million rand in petrol expenses. Well, I know that number comes off of SAP because it's on the SAP printout, but the SAP accounting entry was for 68 million rand for the whole year. And that's in respect of about 1,000 company cars and fleet. So it covers a lot of people a lot of the time. So that number we've included there specifically for you so you can see all the allowances of what we pay our staff. And this is just a breakdown of the other allowances we pay people so you can see insurance, team leaders, meal allowances, so it's completed. This is where I think we have to face up to a bit of pressure, which is, and I think, Sipo, you basically put this slide up earlier, okay, which is where we thought we'd get the initiatives from and how we did against them. And I must be honest, this is where our plan error really became quite apparent. So last year we basically said there were 2.4 billion rand in Gemini projects, and that's on the right-hand side of the slide. Schedule stability, bulk contract produce, and cuts in local production, production and commission cycle times, better utilization of stock, sales effectiveness, better media planning, value-added perception, headcount, and business process restructure, and some very specific pieces around some of the areas we thought that would give us that 55 million rand. News International, where we thought that money would come from, news bureaus, debtors management, strategic sports rights, TV license increase, the VAT exemption, which Sipo spoke to earlier on, and the DSTV database, which we've spoken about, and then strategic procurement, direct and indirect, cutting freelance spend, and then an LSM 1 to 3 subsidy in TV licenses, which we need to come back in another day and have a conversation about, I think. And then the SAP system benefits and time management benefits, and then revenue we thought we'd get from a better movie strategy. So that's where we thought we'd get a third of that this year, and we didn't get anywhere close to that. This year, going forward, we've basically taken that out of the budget, and we put austerity plan in place and said to people, this is what you will cut out of your budget. So we have cut the SABC's budget this year by 693 million rand, which we think is a much better way of approaching productivity than we used in prior years. So this is an area where, you know, I think someone asked us, what did we change to make sure we don't get ourselves in the hole again? And this was perhaps the most significant change. We didn't leave it to managers to decide that they would give us these productivity gains. We actually went in and cut their costs rather than let them try and manage on a promise of performance. And it comes back right to that core problem that we, I think, have at SABC, which is, do we implement our strategies on time and cost effectively? And that's a big part of our problem. So we had A, a sales problem, B, a cost management problem, C, delivery of our strategic projects, 4, working capital management. Those are the 4 big areas that we hit. Then we also, because we've also been asked this, here's where we get our cash from and who supports us, and they've all been really good about supporting us over the last 6 months. Our working capital, as you said, the big issue is the foreign rights. And, you know, typically in the past we would buy cricket in rands. Now we buy cricket in dollars. You know, and that kind of thing can change just the whole way those costs change, because, you know, you're not just dealing with inflation at 5 or 6%. You could be dealing with rand devaluation at 30. So it adds a lot of risk. I wouldn't mind some of the Zim dollars. They actually haven't got a bad cricket team, though. Some of our debtors age analysis, this is where we've been tracking. Targeted days are slightly come down. We are battling a bit to get to where we want to be. We're about 4 days behind at the moment. We have got all the cash in, but that's still about 77 million rand more in the book right now than we think. We're still online for October, so when we come back and talk about our financial statements, hopefully the blue line will be tracking about here. So We've been working quite hard on dealing with the working capital management. And there's the debtors' age analysis breakdown in some detail if you want to read it. And then just some things that I think one of the issues about the SABC, and let me, I don't know how, if you own by the state, you pay tax. It seems to be an awful big expense. You know, send checks and they send them back to you. But these are big risks in tax. As you can see, this is what we pay in tax and to whom. Yeah, the risks. There's a doubtful debts allowance on our debtors' book in respect of people that have not paid their TV licenses. So currently we've got 100% allowance. The Act is 25. So if this is changed, it can result in a 200 or 300 million rand liability for the SABC in tax. So you need to be very cognizant of the tax risks. These are not small. Back on TV licenses, as we said, this is about 135 million rand a year, 14% of our total book. And then the other big one is our foreign currency management risk and insurance management. I know there's been some local press on both of these things. All I'll say is that about 8 months ago, National Treasury conducted a full due diligence audit of our Treasury Department, and we got a passing mark on the report. In fact, they were quite complimentary on what we had done. So this is, whatever other problems we may have, this is not a hedging book mistake within the SABC. There are lots of things we can do do better, but this is not one where we did badly. And insurance risk management, here's the problem with the production insurers, Chair, I'll just spend a few minutes just to help members understand. We used to pay people cash and say, right, go and sort out your own insurance. And then a few years ago, a young girl of about 8, Charlotte will probably remember this, I think he was at the SABC at the time, climbed over the railings at the Rand Show, slipped, hit her head and fell in the water. Now, that's not a problem. Fortunately, someone saw the child go in and she came out and this young girl was just badly shaken up. But we asked the question, well, where's the production insurance certificate? It wasn't there. So the people that were doing those shows for us had essentially exposed the SABC to that kind of exposure. Now, one might ask, or say, yes, well, you know, how much financial loss should you have in those circumstances? But that person could also be queen from generations, you know, which would have been a major financial cost for the SABC. As a consequence of that and a few other investigations, we decided to source our production insurance in-house. In other words, we now issue a production company certificate of insurance, and if you have an insurance claim because of bad weather, we'll carry that cost, not you. It's better administered, and it costs us 6 million rand less. So I hear that there are complaints. We went back to our insurance brokers. There's one production house that is putting in some insurance claims for a few hundred rand on their assets policy, which they should cover themselves and not on the SABC policy. So that's the insurance management. Chair, I'm sure there are lots of questions, but this is just basically in response to all the questions we were asked last week. So we will circulate this to members, and no doubt there will be more questions.
Before I take questions, let me check if the members are awake. Oh, no, they're okay. They're alive and well. All right. All right, there you have it. Lots of numbers. I'm sure there are a lot of questions as well.
Person, I'm sure Mr. Nicholson won't mind to give us also some a bit of lessons in accounting and that. But from a layperson's point of view, I want to start with the statement of comprehensive income. And then if you go further down, the first presentation, first copy we got, you know, this says profit and then it got lost in brackets right at the end there. Now, you have, for the year 2009, if I read it correctly, there's a loss. Then you projected 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014 loss. Can you explain that?
This is from the strategy document. It's not from this presentation.
Yeah, from the strategy document.
Okay.
Yeah.
What we?
No, I'm not finished yet.
Oh, okay.
If you could just explain that, maybe just to explain to us, you know, how to read that, so that it make a sense. Because if I understand correctly, when we were dealing with the strategy document, it was said by Mr. Mpofu that we spent $50 million on consultants because we're going to save $450 million. And so now when you look at this and you see all these losses, then you think, is the strategy working? And then the other question, Chairperson, is on our... Also, we also see an increase is on the liabilities. Maybe if Mr. Nicholson can also just explain, you know, why the increase, you know, in current liabilities, again, in the strategic document, it also shows an increase there. The liabilities for every year seem to increase. Under financial risk management, where he made a comment to say that working capital management needed earlier and more aggressive intervention. If you could just point to us in your presentation where you dealt with that question. For now, those are the three chapters.
Any other questions?
Chairperson, just wanted to ask, we have heard that part of the problem of the SABC has been for the past 3 years that they were consuming more than the revenue. In other words, there were indications that the revenue wouldn't meet consumption. Now, I just wanted to know, what was the reason, firstly, that the personnel expenditure increased quite significantly? Was it largely as a result, especially in the last year? It seems that we had number of staff appointed was 345, if I'm not mistaken. Was it that? And was the employment benefits, were those employment benefits actually increased as well? Concern that I have is, I think he made mention of a sort of a fleet of 1,000 vehicles. What actually is covered by the SABC, and who qualifies for a fleet car? From which levels, etc., and if you qualify or if you have the opportunity to buy a car, what costs are for the SABC and what costs are for individual employees? Then also the issue of the pension fund. Could we have an indication what is the practice at the SABC as far as contributions by the employer to pension fund is concerned? We seem to have quite a strong pension fund at the SABC, which is a good thing. I mean, it is important also as a retention tool for staff members. But I am a little concerned that maybe the SABC became over generous with contributions to the pension fund. To the scheme, what is the rate of payment to the SABC pension fund? Thank you, Chair.
Can we start with some answers?
Yeah, first of all, to Mr. Lowell, Chair, can I move to another presentation and just deal with this issue, because it caused a lot of confusion the last time around about what that strategic income statement meant. Okay, I think that might be a better way of dealing with it. So. was only 13 clients, which I won't deal with all except three or four. We basically, when we put the income statement together, we said, this is where we are. The budget says this is where we will be next year. It's got its issues, but it's what we're shooting for. But if we stay with the mandate obligations, the sort of funding model we've got, and we don't do anything different, how bad can it get? And that strategy document was to show you how bad it can get, not what are the alternatives to it. So what we tried to put together here was this question that was asked earlier today, which is to say, so what are you going to do about it? Or are you just going to keep on, you know, drilling holes in the bottom of your boat? So, and these are the four or five core strategies agreed with the board and the general management at the SABC. The first thing is to return the core to profitability and generate sufficient free cash flow to support debt on the balance sheet. We have to get back to cash positive, okay, which is the question Ms. Killian put. It wasn't our expenses exceeded our revenue. It was that our cash consumption was more than our cash inflow, and that was the weakness. And I'll deal with that question at what drove that. In order to do that, we had to focus on revenue expenses, working capital management, and delay or terminate all non-core capital expenditures. There's some things. We need the HDOB vans. We need a digital news server. There's stuff that we can't stop right now. A, it's funded by the government, and B, we won't deliver on 2010 or DGT if we don't spend this money. So that's about all we're spending money at the moment. The third one is the one that we really have battled a lot with, which is to reduce monthly expenses to below operational cash flow. In other words, to stop this problem with people toying outside the SABC. And I must say, absolutely justifiably so. There are things that keep me awake at night, and not paying people is one of them. Focus on the reduction of long-term cost of content, particularly sports rights and international content, because it's not local production, it's not mandate, and it is very expensive, which comes back to this question about what is driving your liabilities. The way that works is when we acquire these rights, they're only for 4 or 5 years. At the start of the year, we bring those rights onto the balance sheet, and then there's a payment schedule that you've got to pay 50 million rand every 3 months or 4 months or whatever it is, and you pay that liability off across the course of the year. And then you've got your normal trade creditors, which you should pay 30, 60, or 90 days, depending on what terms you have with them. And that's why that liability keeps on growing, because every year you've got these strategic sports rights coming on board. Which is why we said one of the things we have to get a view on is what are we going to do about sport? Because the regulators in one corner, the SABC is being forced into another. And the real truth of the matter is that if you don't have sport in the channel, you're going to lose a significant audience. So, you know, there's the broadcasters want to have sport, and then there's who's got the balance of power and how much these things cost, and then there's the regulator that says you will carry national sports of national interest and you will pay market-related costs for them. And then improve visibility and the right commitments in place for all productions and secure funding of the medium term for these commitments. This perhaps has been one of the most difficult things for us to get right at the SABC, is exactly what we have got long-term commitments for. And what long-term content we have in place that's owned by us that can... And that goes back to this whole desire to get IPM in so we know what our asset register is. And the TV independent producers are not happy about this question about... And one of the comments was, do away with the asset register system. You know, which is nonsense. One of the things that I could never understand when I joined the SABC, and it was a long time ago now, 8 years, so I can't ever deny that the SABC's problems aren't also my children. We need to get a register of what we own. So that's part of this. What do we owe and what do we own? Because there are lots of assets that we can turn to good account. So we ought then to say, well, what do we do about news and news bureaus, and what do we do about DTT? All of these things came into your project. So we said there are four key areas that we've got to get our heads around. News International and extensive news bureaus, sports and sports rights, DGT, and operating model in all areas of the organization. Now, just to understand how we could do the operating model without necessarily going through a retrenchment exercise. You've got 145 people who are close to retirement within 5 years. You've got 600 people on contract, 300 of which contracts expire over the next 2 to 3 years. And then you've got about 300 people that normally leave the SABC in the course of a year. So there's plenty of flexibility about your staffing model that allows you to start managing these things. But you have to know what you're managing towards. And that's perhaps our starting point. What are we managing towards? And the model that Sipho was talking about was at least between board and the group executive, let's get that governance model right first, because it's actually causing a lot of the problems further down in the organization. So that's what we're talking about here. How do we get out of this? And I said there were some things that we could have done better in finance, particularly this approach to austerity. So this year you've got an austerity plan in your budget and you've got your strategic turnaround projects, which you've taken them out and said, let's tell us exactly how these projects are costing and how exactly they have been implemented and measure them. Cost containment, cash management, and refinance their working capital through debt finance or shareholder loans, and then much tighter short-term cost management. And this is some stuff you've seen before about all these various projects. So what we did here is we said, what's this business's usual number? Because, you know, you don't eat sales or expenses, you eat cash. We all know that. The household runs on cash. So we said if business as usual continues, you'll need 714 million rand for 2010. So between now and the end of the year, the SABC will need 714 million rand, and then another 600 million, and then another 700 million, and then another billion, and then another 1.1 billion. So that's the kind of hole, if you just let the SABC dawdle along, you'd need to come up with. And that's the presentation we would have done to this house in April last year about what's driving that. We then took these strategic projects and said, okay, well, how do we close this gap on the SBC's own steam? And other than these issues about LSM 1 to 3 subsidies, which you can start seeing at 335 to 400 million rand in 2012, all of this is based on the SBC getting a license increase on a regular basis, being able to access the DSTV databases. And that will give rise to these cash flows. Based on these cash flows, what happens to your debt? And this is, my good Lord, the first question. What you see in the strategic document is this graph at the bottom here that ends up with a minus 4.1 billion rand as the SABC's worst case scenario if it does nothing. We then said, well, if we just get the austerity plan and the strategic projects to work, we could get that to 2.8 billion rand over the same period. It takes. And typically in 2012, you suddenly see the hockey stick because that's when the LSM 123 subsidy would come in and the like. Okay, so we all know that any upside scenario in the strategy plan looks like a hockey stick. Management don't like committing to the next year or the following year, but the year after that, when other guys arrive, you know, they must deliver on what we haven't done. So, I mean, that's a typical hockey stick you might see in an upside scenario. But we then pulled it down onto the green line, and we said, we think that we could probably do this plan, bring all our risk and our austerity and our medical aid obligations in and generate about 1.6 billion rand over the same period. There's some things which we and I think if there are any media young or astute, they can work out that if we've got 700 million rand in the hole and we're talking about a 1.6 billion rand recovery, perhaps that's the number that we're looking at in total debt on our balance sheet over the next couple of months. And if things don't go well, 362 million. But then the big question comes, Mr. Law, which is, if you want to do DTT, what DTT do you want to do? So if you want to stop DTT and tell the SBC, go back to what it was doing 3 years ago, we can generate the top four scenarios for you. If you want to do DTT, we can't. The whole then becomes about 2.3 billion rand. And that's the conversation we need to be having once we get this behind us about the SABC. What exactly do you want your new public broadcaster to look like in a DTT environment? Because the current funding model will not fund the SABC's strategic ambitions. And if we are not going to fund those strategic ambitions, we need to stop planning for them. So that's and that's where all of those numbers came from, Mr. Love. We started off by saying, here's your shock and horror picture. If the SABC is just allowed to drift, this is what the transformation will look like. Obviously, we'd run out of cash long before then, but no, that's what would happen over 5 years. We think the most likely scenario is about 1.6 billion rand. If we do everything and do it well. The problem is the track record doesn't say that you can do that. So we've put some risk into it, and which is why we pulled it down. But, you know, we have to get back to work at the SABC. So that really is the scenario plans, Chair, that we've put to you. Clearly, this is not a document we want to make public, although it's very generic at this point in time. And this is the session we said we want to have, the closed-door session with you, and Dean Buzo and his team and Charlotte can come and take the house through in some detail about what we want to do around DTT. That's where I think the core issue about confidentiality sits. So, Mr. Law, hopefully that answers question one and two. Okay. Question three, I think we've dealt with as well. And then I said, what did you asked me, what did you do about debt management? Remember if we push the right button here. No, that doesn't look like the right button. That's where we were. This is the right button. Our working capital management, we said there were two issues. The one was, did we have visibility of the liabilities that we were taking on board? And were we modeling them correctly? That was the one issue. Another issue was this one. We allowed our debtors last year, June, to get away from us completely up to 109 days. And we've been pulling them back since then, but that's really where we didn't respond fast enough. We didn't respond fast enough in our debtors book. And we can go through the excuses for it. But that's the one area where, that's what we mean when we say we didn't respond fast enough. It was in this area about managing our cash flow. It's Killian's question.
Who's
we?
Yeah.
Well, the SABC, and I mean, this would be...
Is it management or is it the board?
This is management.
Okay.
I'm glad to say the board never got to manage our debtors. We managed to do this by ourselves. All levity aside, I think we must recognize that the industry averages 65 days. So it's not like we're massively out. But it's not an area where we respond fast enough.
But the PMMA is 30 days.
Well, 30 days to pay, to collect. Well, let's work that out. If I flight your ad on the 1st of June, and I send you an invoice on the 30th of June, that's 30 days. And I give you 30 days to pay, that's 60 days. And if you take another 4 days, then it's 64 days. But that's practically what we're talking about here. You know, it's how you measure this thing. I mean, yes, you could say, okay, it's current plus 30 days, and then I'm going to make your target. But, you know, if the entire industry runs at 64 days, don't think the SABC is going to run at 30. Because, well, we can run at 30, but then the entire industry will have the people that only want to run 64 days. You know, there is a reality here as to how far you can move away from an industry, particularly because we set the terms. And just so that you also understand, if agencies don't pay in 30 days, they lose their comp. So right now, this is quite a big point of soreness in the industry, with the SABC saying, well, if you're not paying on time, you're going to lose your commission. I don't want to tell Gab that. But, I mean, that it's part of how we collect the debt in the industry. And Ms. Killian, you asked why we need more cash. I think that, you know, we made the argument quite well. There's this expanded rights context where we've bought content, and that's driven by mandate. The headcount is driven by mandate and new technologies. You know, we can't get away from the fact that many very good people at the SABC are driving technologies that are obsolete, and they are coming up on retirement, and you have to have people in place, not because they need to know the new technologies, but they need to know broadcasting. And I don't want to say it takes 10 years to know broadcasting, but those studios are modern, they're complicated. You don't take somebody in one day and turn them into somebody with 20 years worth of experience. So there is some duplication around those technology changeovers that we need to finance. Unemployment benefits, yes, the SABC runs a very nice. If you're going to retire at the SABC, it's a very nice place to work. And therein lies the problem in our remuneration strategy. Because the people that we need on our platforms are young, vigorous, not approaching retirement. Okay, and they tend to be African and male and female. Our older end, the thing happens to be white and male. Sorry? Why do I look at you? Because you remind me of my mother. Yeah, I'm getting there myself, man. But, you know, I do think we need to look at this remuneration strategy and structure. And it's been in front of the board for a number of years. Because the SABC does tend to offer very good retirement benefits, post-retirement medical aid. And over the years, we've shut down those benefits one by one. And it's a difficult thing to change. Let's also put that on the table. Everybody doesn't want to change their benefits. Particularly because our on-cost is about 32%. So if I'm paying you 100 Rand in cash, I'm also paying 32 cents. So I'm paying 32 Rand in on-benefits. And one of the difficulties we have is we see people come and say, well, I'm earning 100 Rand at a competitor. And we say, well, we're going to pay you 100 Rand. And they say, no, I'm only getting 67 Rand here because the other 32 Rand or 33 Rand is gaining benefits. So it puts us at a real disadvantage, and that also causes inflation in what we're forced to offer talent to come join the SABC because they'll simply say, you know, you're offering me a five-year contract, I'm 30, and you're offering me post-retirement medical aid. That doesn't work for me. Or you're offering me a great pension fund when I turn 65. That doesn't work for me. That's 30 years away, and you're only giving me a five-year contract. So there are all of those conflicts around that. And as a consequence, there is quite an active remuneration strategy in place at the SABC, and it was put in place by the Mapai Board, in fact. This issue predates me at the SABC in terms of cutting back on post-retirement medical aid and the like. Let me try and explain it in another way, which is much easier to talk about, and that's about an indemnity way of paying you. So I indemnify you for your health care, I indemnify you for your motor car aid, I indemnify you for your post-retirement medical aid, I indemnify you for your pension fund. So basically, it doesn't matter what it costs, I will pay that cost for you. You can have a company car and you can have a fuel card. So about 4 years ago, we sat down and said, let's stop this company car thing. This is the car you can get now, go and buy your own car. I don't care if it's a Mercedes-Benz or a Toyota Hilux. But what we couldn't negotiate at that time was this question about how much do we pay for your petrol and maintenance. And that's where this whole issue in the press comes from. The fact that in trying to get these benefits right, we managed to deal with what your benchmark car is, and that hasn't changed for 5 years. But we haven't yet dealt with this thing around what the fuel card is. And that's an outstanding part of the strategy. It was approved by the board in 2007. We are in the process of implementing that as part of the comprehensive substantive conditions of employment. And that is a very difficult process. It's even more difficult to try and engage in that process right now at the SABC given our current wage negotiations. So yes, hopefully that you understand the employee benefits. So the only indemnity benefits left now are the so-called maintenance and fuel in your car and your pension fund. The pension fund you asked about, the current contribution is 14. Staff pay about, I think it's 6.5 or 7. And that means the total contribution is about 21% into the pension fund. We are in the process of reducing that to an equal contribution by the SABC. And that goes to utilize our surplus of 350 million rand you've seen in assets. So that asset will gradually come down over time, but it will save the SABC about 55 million rand in cash every year. So that's how we...
What is the saving?
Well, I can be precise, I suppose. Got it, yeah. Let me just find it. There's our pension cost. It would be about 85 to 90 million rand a year. If we paid nothing, we'd be only going to cut, we'll be paying half of that, so 45 to 50 million rand. but it's a cash saving. You're still going to have to impair the asset on your balance sheet to the same amount, so it doesn't impact your earnings. It's only going to save you cash. And I think that's all of the questions I've got so far, Chair.
Can I also just put a few questions that come to you now? You see, my concern is this. Earlier on, the board members said that the strategy that they reluctantly signed off last year, strategic plan, would have been a deficit of about 600 million rand. And they refused to sign it. And through a process of engagement, they finally signed it, but around about August. Am I right later in the year? Am I correct in saying it's basically executive management defied the cautionary note expressed by the board? You just went ahead and did what you wanted to do. I'm just asking a question because, you see, somebody must explain. If you've got a strategic plan, it's approved by the board, and you say that it's budgeted for, okay, the one thing you could not anticipate was the global economic recession. But I don't know if that alone explains the squeeze that we are in at the moment. It's part of the answer. Now, I'm going to point out a few things. I might have the figures wrong because I was trying to catch it while you were presenting. I mean, if you look at your collection of your licenses, it cost you 176 million rand. You recovered, if I remember correctly, 97 million rand. I was trying to catch it. I don't know if I got the exact figure. So you rendered a loss even collecting your licenses. Okay? I don't know. I might get it wrong. If I take your sports rights, I mean, was there any control put over that? Purchase of sports rights. Because you've spent, what, 1.1 billion rights? Billion rands on sports and program and film rights. Why is somebody putting a cap on it, putting a lid on it and say, look, you can't go, you're overheating the system? Because that's really the issue. You employed 350 or some odd people last year. And you've got a whole human resource department. You just go and employ all these people without looking at whether you're generating the revenue. Somebody has to explain this. Because surely there's a month-to-month, I mean, somebody is looking at income and expenditure and trying to balance and manage the account. But we've had the discussion on the international news bureaus. I mean, there's no budget for it. You just went ahead and you rolled it out. Now, you know, when we talk about fiduciary responsibilities, ultimately, I mean, is this an executive management acting in defiance of the board? Or is it the board that was so preoccupied with other issues of the SABC, genuinely and very sincerely, but who just didn't see the train smash coming? I don't know. But how is it that at the end of the financial year, we suddenly realize that we 800 million rand in trade? Now, you said earlier on that you picked up the first signals in June last year. By September, you were clear that you were heading for a problem. But somebody has to explain this. I mean, because if this is a private company, you would have responded very differently. If this is your own private company, you would have responded very, very differently. You wouldn't have gone and employed more people. You wouldn't have purchased rights that, I mean, you just can't afford. So can someone explain this to me? I mean, I'm trying to grapple with this key question. Sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine, I think it's a very easy question, but I think it's a responsible one. It's about the policy on traveling. I just want to know as it is written on one of the documents here, that all travelings are always subject to official approval at appropriate level. Does this apply to executives and board members? And at least when you say officials, whom do you mean exactly? The officials who approve the requisitions. And does this include, I don't know, I never saw the, you know, the whole thing about accommodation. Is it inclusive there, or you have got a different policy on that? And this policy, when has it started working? Has it been like this the whole time, or when did it start working? I just needed a clarity on that. I'll make a follow-up when it's the appropriate time. That's why I want it. I just want to have the ammunition.
Mr. Kulwan.
No, thank you. Much. When Honorable Member Masto can want this ammunition machine work, it will be difficult. Papa said that the issue I just wanted to look at, when the CFO, Mr. Nicholson, was just presenting, he has many times alluded to the fact that I'm sure cautioning the committee about this issue of forensic investigation. As he made an indication by one example of 1998, where other things happened and so on. But I just want to check what, in his view, how do you deal with the current challenge which you are having? When allegations are flying all over, any newspaper you take, there's an allegation flying. How do you deal with this matter without going the forensic investigation and other means of determining the truth, what is exactly happening? I take his caution, he's cautioning the committee about this, but how do you get to the bottom of the problem to prove, to clear people? I'm glad because the management, they seem to be agreeing with the processes in order for people to clear themselves. But how do you get into that if we must trade the conscious in terms of this investigation which need to be taken so that people can be able to live their normal life? Now, the other issue, Chair, is in relation to the issue of staff. But I must upfront indicate that I'm not a fan of a retrenchment and other things related to that, of reducing of staff and so on. But we're in a situation where there is a problem with the number of staff. Last week and some other time, there was also an indication of whether to have the required skills at the different levels within the organization, which is able to take the organization forward. Now, Chair, I hear that we can manage the problem as people will, natural attrition will come in, as people will be going on pension and so on. Do we have that luxury, financially and also in terms of time, to allow that process to take its course and so on? The other issue, Chair, is in relation to just a general question. Are you using labor brokers in SABC in acquiring services of staff and so on? That question, I forgot it, Chair, but it's one standard question, is one like to understand in each and every entity. Whether are you by any chance using labor brokers and so on, just to get that response around that particular question. Chair, the other issue, you have covered the issue of increasing the personnel and so on. I just want to check, Chair, there's been an issue coming. Last week we said part of the problem, Chair, which we are having within the SABC was the issue, Chair, of we seem to be we dealt with the issue in terms of the news bureaus, in terms of who authorized what and so on. We remember, Chair, that the board part of their response, they said we have okay the broader principle, but the implementation was not with us, was somewhere else, and we just lose sight in terms of making sure that these are implemented operationally, because we have just okayed the broader principle and so on. Now, Chair, maybe that will assist on the question which you have asked, exactly what happened with these news bureaus, which were open, understanding one of my favorite countries, Jamaica, because I like Rick, or whatever. Anywhere where it was open, exactly what happened around that. The last one, Chair, is in relation to, I see the travel policy, Chair. There is one which is also talking about the changes as May 2009. I just want to check, Chair, because you see, part what I'm pleased at is that part of the accusation of the unions and other people, they are zooming in on the issue of the expense in terms of travel. And I see a document responding to that. Now, it's part of some of this document where they are saying part of the solution is to deal the issue of travel. And I can see that there is a response precisely to those matters. So they don't seem to be off the mark that much because there are some responses which are seem to be direct to what the issues they are raising. I might not know, maybe the process started aid in terms of development of the changes and so on. But the question which I want to drive home is that to ask whether these changes are currently operational or they are still going to come into operational in the near future and so on. I think those are the questions, Chair, except that I'm still battling with the over expenditure and so on. I'm still looking into that. I'm sure outside this meeting or somewhere else, one will be able to engage on that particular matter and so on. The last thing, Chair, is the issue, part of what is going on, Chair, to say the audit committee and also the procurement related matters. You see, Chair, there are also some perception that other people were coming close to unravel the truth and so on. But you know, Chair, sitting here listening to the presentation and so on, I don't know, Chair, where do we miss the point? You see, when we're in the public enterprise and ESCOM was presenting their profit and so on, the then chairperson, Yunus Karim, raised a question and say, I can't pinpoint where is the problem, but there is something fish. There is something wrong because we are presenting everything nice, but on the Facebook of it, but actually there seems to be problem. But you could not pinpoint what's the problem. And so a few years later, there was a blackout, the total collapse of the system and so on. Now, Chair, from the presentation we have received, Chair, you see you can't link the ongoing public threat in terms of the activities of SABC and the presentation. The presentation is too good to be true. I'm not saying it's not true, but I'm saying it's too good for what is going on. You see, it's too good for that. Maybe, Chair, one would conclude that there are people who are deliberately misleading the public in terms of understanding SABC. If this presentation, Chair, is what it is, because I don't understand what's the problem. But you might not lay our finger to the problem now. Maybe there is a problem, I don't know. But I'm saying, Chair, this is a very good presentation. If everything here indicated is as is, Chair, we need to find out that maybe there's a dead force in terms of this public outcry and so on. Thanks, Jefferson.
You see, this is the difficulty. I
I'm also having. Let me read you a paragraph from Nadia Bulbulia's letter to us. Okay? Point number 7. And she says, the crisis that we are facing today is the culmination of layers of deep-rooted systemic defects in the machinery of the SABC. Whether it's the commissioning editors on the take, or executives ensuring that the unlimited car allowances are protected, to the industrial espionage of selling trade secrets to competitors, or board members and chief executives playing politics, and then she goes on. Now, we have up till now only concentrated on this, the board and the executive playing politics. But, I mean, these are very serious things. These are the comments that she's made. Are very, very serious statements. If there are people leaking information, trading secrets, if commissioning editors are on the take, so then you pay any price for rights because you're getting something in the back end. Cost doesn't matter to you. That's why we've blown the lid. And that's, if I look at the submission made by Mr. Mbeki, you know, it is not as direct as this, but the implication over and over again is that the bidding and tender procurement processes are significantly manipulated. He hasn't gone so far to name people, etc., but he's here. He can speak to his document. Now, so while the rent and sense we can understand, you see, but it's just intangible that Mr. Kolwani is talking about. What? Where is the problem? I asked, was this defiance? People just went ahead and did. I put it, I get anecdotal stuff that you're sitting with, 120 some odd general managers. After your senior executives, you've got 120 some odd general managers. Is it true? I don't know. Well, what do you do with 120 general managers? How many of them are fully functional and necessary for the core functions and responsibilities of the corporation? Or how many of them are just twiddling thumbs and holding positions? So I think those are my, we're walking around the problem. We know there's a problem, but we're moving around, but we can't pinpoint. What went wrong last year? Now, there might have been a whole history to it or past practices. You see, Mr. Mpofu said earlier on that when he came into office, there wasn't a system in place, controls in place. Now, in spite of efforts to put in the controls, did bad culture continue? And we slept through it. I don't know. But that's what we want to get at. Because I think we've heard commentators saying, you can remove the board. And they themselves have said, you won't solve the problem. Because that might be just a part of the problem. There's maybe a deeper part of the problem that nobody's catching yet. Mr. Nkizi and then Mr. Guy.
Only one question, Chair. But also I need to clarify it in terms of the staff. They are saying from March, 1st of March 2009, the staff were almost 4.4 something. But at the same time, or the reason was that because of the technology and things like that, that's why you keep on increasing your staff. But at the same time, equally so, in terms of your freelancers, the number of also freelancers also is increasing. And I think the CFO said even the freelancers are being paid by SABC as part of the staff of SABC. So now I'm asking myself why we increase the number of freelancers if we are able to get if we are increasing the number of staff that are capable to deal with the IT improvement and things like that. So why are we increasing this number and things like that? There is another page, picture in page 82. In terms of percentage of terminations by race. Permanent and fixed-term contract employees only. If you look at it's what from the 31st of March 2009, applicants were 55, Indians 3.4, 3.3, colored 7, white 33, and whites are increasing, and other races are decreasing. Yeah. If I may be assisted also to understand that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Hey, yeah. You know, Chairperson, maybe let me start by saying you know, some of us, and there are two questions that I'm just going to ask the executive. But, Chair, I just want to say, you know, sometimes confusion, it is painful. And I understand where the country comes from and where we are going. But sometimes it is unfortunate, you know, that we find ourselves, when I'm saying we find ourselves, I'm saying all of, you know, all of us in this situation. But Chairperson, you know, I'm not a financial person, but at least I can understand. Because at some stage, you know, I was a manager, and when you are a manager, you manage everything. Mr. Rubin, that's the name. Yeah. He said that he made a statement that the SABC, they don't owe anybody except the bank. And I am sitting here, I'm asking myself that if the SABC doesn't owe anybody, why were people, you know, doing against, you know, SABC, saying that the SABC is not paying them, you know, the producers, the companies? Can he elaborate on that? Why was he making that statement? Maybe there's something that we don't understand. And also, Chairperson, I don't know whether this question, it will be personally to the executive or what. But I can see there is something, you know, in the SAPC that is happening, Chairperson. But I think, as Colonel have said it, that we are not sure. But by the look of an eye, I don't know where is the problem. If you look at these documents, you know, their strategic plan, there are good plans that they are coming up. There are few things, you know, that need to be, you know, to be sorted out. You come to financial statement. There are areas where the SABC is excelling
and there are areas where the SABC is not, you know, doing good. I don't know, Chairperson, what are sometimes does, you know, members of the executive do take time and go for crash courses to improve their skills on how to manage better in a new democracy, or does the SABC executive sometimes do go out and meet with their counterparts and just say on how the other, you know, entities, whether it's in the continent or international, those who are going, you know, managing broadcasting entities. Do the executives sometimes do that? Because if you are a manager, Chairperson, I was once a manager. And I know that I am talking to converted people. Each and every time you need, you know, to improve your skills and you need to get more knowledge, because we are living during the times where technology is changing. Management style is changing. It's no longer the traditional way. So you need to move with time. But in essence, what I'm saying, Chairperson, when I look at the SABC, it's not that bad as it is put on the paper. You could see people who are really trying, but I don't know. Something is holding. I don't know where. What is that that is holding? And how can we assist those who have worked in the departments? There's a term that is mostly used. I think Ms. Kumelelo will know in the department that within your branch, if you have managers, non-performers, you don't just you know, say people are not performing, but you find out first what is it that makes people not to perform, and what is it as a manager, because it's the responsibility, even the law requires, it's the responsibility of the manager to make sure if people are not performing, you find out first, and also you make sure that you empower people to improve so that they can perform better than they are performing. So, thanks, Chairperson.
Can I say that there's tea and coffee outside, and it's going to get cold if we start with all these responses. So, can we adjourn for Mr. Kolani? How many minutes would you need for adjournment? 20 minutes? 15 minutes? 15 minutes. Can we say that we will reconvene here 10 to 5, and then you can start with the responses and we'll take the other hand. Thank you.